Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Now, executive search firm Jackhammer has raised alarm over the poor treatment of people looking for jobs. Advaita Naidu, the company's Africa MD, joins me now. A very good evening to you, Advaita. Thanks for being with us on Kaya Biz. What are you seeing when it comes to the dynamic that's playing out between companies and potential employees?
So, thanks for shining a spotlight on the issue. We have actually been inundated over the last little while with senior candidates complaining about very poor experiences at the whims of companies and interviewers. And I think at the heart of it is that companies have forgotten that they're not buying commodities, they're actually hiring humans. And obviously in South Africa, we have, you know, quite a tough job market and companies hold the upper hand. So these disorganized hiring processes have become a bit more normalized over time. And that's problematic because it's damaging psyches, it's damaging employer brands. And I think it's always been something of a problem where things tend to fall through the cracks. But now through the use of AI and more automated processes, the issue has become just a little bit more exacerbated.
Mm-hmm. When you say you're seeing complaints from senior candidates, what kind of complaints are you seeing? And is there a trend when it comes to a kind of company or kind of job that there's a spike in this sort of behavior?
So, no, not really. Really, I think industry-wise, it's probably about the same, but I think we can probably differentiate it into two different buckets. It's probably, for the more junior roles, there is a mass application process, and people tend not to hear back from recruiters. You know, on the one hand, people just apply for anything because they want to be in with a chance, and then the recruiters who are manning those inboxes don't take the time to actually filter through applications or resumes of all candidates. They let AI do the screening, and then people are filtered out when perhaps they shouldn't be, and then they don't hear back. And then on the other hand, on the more senior side, it's people having gone through interview processes and then just not hearing back or not getting adequate feedback as to why they weren't given the job. So it's a little bit different in terms of seniority, but again, at the end of the day, the mechanism or the outcome is the same. It's a poor candidate experience.
Mm-hmm. Besides bad manners, because I think it is just bad manners to do that, what are some other causes of that behavior?
I think we live in a world where we're probably just so much busier than we have been before. And so, yes, it is bad manners, but it's also just lack of systematization, where we are not thinking through the workflows and what needs to be done in this kind of process. We're kind of trusting that somebody else is going to be responsible. Somebody else will kind of manage the process to the end. And then I think when it comes to delivering bad news, it's that we don't want to give bad news, or we don't how the other person is going to react. And it's easier just to ghost someone, as I think people find out in a dating scenario, where they think, oh, well, you know, if I don't call them, then they'll probably get the message in the end, right? And not realizing that, you know, it's not just bad manners, it's actually a little bit inhumane.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying ghosting is never acceptable. We're not talking about dating, so we're just talking about firms now. And even a simple, respectful no is better than silence. Why?
Yeah. Well, so there's two things. I think, first of all, if you haven't made a decision yet and you haven't contacted the people who are in process with you, get into the habit of doing the no feedback feedback, which means you call them up or you send them an email to say, we know that you've been waiting for news, but we unfortunately don't have any next steps at this stage. It's still in a decision-making process because other things take priority, or there are other candidates in the process, or things are just happening. So candidates can appreciate that, you know, no feedback feedback is still feedback, and they know that they're still in with a chance. And then when there is a decision, you always have to close the loop. It's never acceptable to ghost someone. And I really think that people shy away from delivering bad news because they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't know how to tell someone that they unfortunately haven't made through to the next stage because they don't know how that person is going to react. But to make it better, you can prepare what you're going to say. You don't have to create false expectations. You don't have to cause those waves of self-doubt. You really can script something so that you deliver the news in the most humane way possible without creating false expectations.
Mm-hmm. What's the balance between wanting to be polite and also just saying, we are all adults here, and if we don't call you back in 2 weeks, good luck to you in your search. Because you want to manage people's feelings, but also if you're a busy company, you're busy, you know?
Sure. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's that efficiency doesn't mean you need to be impersonal. And yes, okay. While we are all adults, even a form letter to say we have progressed with candidates who more closely align with the brief that we were trying to meet is probably better than just ignoring someone wholesale. I mean, if you have something at the beginning of the process to say, well, you know, if we don't call you back in X number of days, please consider your application unsuccessful. That's one thing. Yeah. But if you are one, disqualifying qualified candidates without giving them feedback, that's poor form. And two, once you've had any sort of personal interaction with a candidate, if you are relying on them getting a message through the universe, again, that's poor form.
You know, this is, I don't like making things too personal on radio, but I did my pupillage last year, and part of it, you do your training as an advocate and you qualify and you need to find chambers. And part of it involves going, putting yourself out to groups and saying, hi, you know, can I please be part of your group? And people will say, no, thank you. And it's so interesting that the places that rejected me, I have so much respect for, because they send you a very polite letter saying, thank you so much. We appreciate you putting yourself forward, but not. And the places that didn't, I feel as though I would not want to be part of a group like that because, you know, it's not polite or maybe they're not organized. So there's a there's that reputational damage or reputational view that you take on people. And I think it's a personal thing. I don't think it's just a, oh, no, it's a manners thing. You feel slighted, you know. It's not about manners. You do feel slightly slighted, and that colors how you view them.
You do feel slighted, but I think that there is a, you know, a deep psychological impact there. So if you think for the, about the fact that the company or that group that you're applying for, they did have the upper hand. So even if you had been appointed, even a candidate is appointed into a company that handled the recruitment process badly, and if they've had a negative candidate experience, they are probably less likely to be satisfied and engaged in their roles and are more likely to feel disconnected from company culture if the experience has been poor. They may then just tread water until the next good opportunity comes along, because companies talk a lot about their employee value proposition, but that needs to be manifesting at every step of the value chain, not just when somebody signs a contract, right? Because if you're treating them poorly in the run-up and then you suddenly like switch on the lights and say, oh, well, you're the best thing that that's ever happened to us, a little bit disingenuous. Why weren't you showing that in the first place?
No, I do think it's a, it's also a, it depends on the culture of a place, right? So we spoke about people who, you know, say to you during an interview, you know, it's going to take us a few weeks or a few months, and that makes you quite relaxed because then you're not waiting anxiously. So if people say, you know what, we'll get back to you whenever, that soothes you. And so I'm just wondering about the psychology behind, and I know this is slightly out of our topic, but the psychology behind when you are looking for work and how you do need to also conduct yourself in a manner that doesn't personalize things. Yes, you do want this thing. So do other people. You must realize the context you're operating in. Many people want this job. You may think you're special, and you are, but there are other people who are special as well who are competing. So how does the candidate also need to approach quite a difficult psychological process?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are probably two things there. So first, I want to address the psychology bit. I think anyone who is running a recruitment process, if they stopped to think about how the candidate experience is playing out, they would probably put those steps in place. But unfortunately, you know, when you're trying to fill a job and there are 800 people applying for more junior roles, you just don't have the time to get back to everyone. But if they had stopped to think, you know what, you know, let's put a process in place, let's really systematize this so it doesn't reflect badly on us, and we can make sure that everybody has a good experience, that's a step to check off. And then we don't have to think about what the psychology of it is. And so on the one thing. And then, yes, for a candidate themselves, you know what? we know that applying for jobs and being out of work or looking for something new, that is a time where you're experiencing high stress. So yes, you do have to sort of dissociate yourself from it a little bit, dissociate yourself from the outcomes to the extent that you can keep on applying and not let that negative energy settle over you. And yes, and you know, that's a little bit less psychology and a little bit, you know, positive energy into the universe. And I completely get that.
Yeah.
But it's really about still putting your best foot forward and knowing that the wheels are going to turn in your direction at some point.
You keep on speaking about systems, so I'm assuming that Jackhammer Global in some way does systems. Or it's like the third time you use the word, I'm like,
we
okay,
do. I mean, okay, so Yeah, so I mean, look, we do try to advise clients as much as possible about great candidate experiences and about making sure that nothing falls through the cracks and making sure that everybody receives the feedback that they that they need in order to be a successful candidate, or you know, somebody who's going to be not tarnishing your company name in the future because they've had a bad experience. Because the reality is, yeah, we do live in a hyper-connected world, and people can and will share negative experiences with their networks on LinkedIn, on WhatsApp. So it not only makes it unlikely that the same candidates will re-engage with that company, but it also really erodes the talent pipeline by poisoning their networks.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the mix of technology and people that you use in a system that makes sure that you process those big volumes of people we're speaking about? If there's 800 people applying for quite a junior position, or as there's fewer people but more senior, how do you mix tech and humans in order to ensure that the negative outcomes that we've spoken about don't come to be?
I mean, I think at its simplest form is that AI and the technology really should be used for basic screening and for scheduling and for some kind of communication, but keep the human connection at the key moments, especially for feedback and for final decisions. Because as I said, these tools can take the humanity out of the process. And again, efficiency shouldn't mean impersonal. And by all means, internal recruitment teams need a skills upgrade in the form of working with technology, but that should be to enhance the candidate experience, not to make it worse at the you know, just because efficiency is being prioritized.
Yeah, so when it comes to those negative feelings, and you were saying, you know, people can share on LinkedIn, on WhatsApp, that's also not really a good idea, right? You just want to, you want to keep it cute. If you need to tell someone, maybe tell someone at the company, but you don't want to gossip and be negative because you are not chosen for something.
You don't, and I think, you know, and it's most reductive form, I would absolutely advise candidates not to engage in that kind of naming and shaming, because it does come across as bitter, and it does, you know, it may reflect poorly on you in the future. However, if there is a company that is consistently behaving badly when it comes to candidate experience, there is no reason why they shouldn't be called out. So I think when you aggregate a number of bad experiences and you look at stories being told, you know, I don't believe in the power of anecdotes, but at a certain point, anecdotes become data, right?
I know we touched on it a little bit earlier on when we were talking about trends that you're seeing with companies. Are there companies that, you know, because they are a large company and they try and recruit a lot of people, I can imagine perhaps a call center or similar would have that negative skew because of the volume of people that they process, or on the other end, perhaps JSE listed companies or financial companies that need very niche experience and actually can have the pick, they can have the cream of the crop if they want, and therefore they don't need to treat people well. Are you seeing those kind of dynamics playing out? And I don't want you to name and shame, because, you know, I'm just here for 2 days. I don't want to get anyone sued. But yeah, can you just give us some more insight into those kind of companies?
Sure. I mean, like you say, there will be certain types of companies that they go through a high volume of candidates. The churn and the attrition rate is pretty high, but there is always a plethora of candidates waiting to fill those roles. So it's not that they should think, oh, we can afford to treat them badly. But unfortunately, you know, investing time in the candidate experience when your attrition rate is so high, it probably makes less commercial sense. However, as a company that is wondering if you're not why you're not attracting top talent, if you start to track metrics like increasing quality applicants, higher offer acceptance rates, reduced time to fill roles, improved employer sentiment, that's probably tangible evidence that you're doing something right. And if those metrics are not where they should be, then you are definitely doing something wrong. On the candidate experience side, you're not attracting the candidates that you want to because you're not treating them well.
All right. Advaita Naidu, Africa MD at Jackhammer Global. I have so enjoyed our discussion on how people should be treated when looking for jobs. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening.
Thanks for having me.
All right, it's time for a short break. When we come back, we are going to be speaking about why Gauteng is winning back Cape Town's semigrants. I'll be speaking to the CEO of Lansdowne, Jonathan Kohler. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.